the Seagram's block of Oshawa, Ontario. I'm an idol.
Don't be scared, homie.
The world is smiling at you. The wrestling business is smiling at you. And don't you frown back on it.
Surprise, surprise, motherfucker. The king is back.
The man to hour. The man with the power. Too sweet to be sour.
Dylan Bunker.
I'm talking to 3-0 MMA fighter. He's fighting for Bellator at the moment. Very decorated amateur wrestler. I've got Terrell Fortune on the show. How's it going, man?
I'm doing good. How you doing? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem, man. I was just wondering what initially got you into amateur wrestling, you know, talking about that very decorated career of yours.
Man, I was in the third grade, and I was in this program for after school, for kids after school, and one of the coaches there, he was an old wrestler, and he asked me if I wanted to wrestle, and at that time, you know, actually I thought it was the WWE thing of what he was taking me to do.
That's a common story with amateur wrestlers that I tend to hear, actually.
Yeah, I mean, when you're a kid, that's what you think about, you know, at first, you know, especially in the third grade, you know, I had no idea, and he took me to this gym with a wrestling mat on it, and pretty much kind of got stuck from then on out.
Yeah, and I mean, you won some state championships in high school, pair of junior college national championships. I mean, your resume just really reads quite well here, repping Titan Mercury WC there. But you had a lot of freestyle and Greco, which is kind of uncommon in the wrestling world. A lot of wrestling guys would talk to you and sort of, you know, marvel at how that was kind of an anomaly. So were you always thinking about mixed martial arts then, just based on the, you know, multiple aspects of your wrestling game?
No, actually, I wasn't. I hadn't really thought about fighting until probably about 2-3 years ago, when I had first got asked to come train Rashad Evans for Daniel Cormier. When they first was going to fight and Rashad got hurt in camp, they had asked me to come down there, and I was down there for 3 weeks of his camp helping him train. And at that time, that's when I fell in love with the sport.
Yeah, and you're working a lot with the Black Zillions, correct? So, I mean, working with guys like Henry Hooft, Anthony Rumble Johnson, that had to have been really instrumental, you know, with your formative years as a mixed martial artist. Great place to be.
Yeah, I mean, I was there. I'm not there anymore.
Yeah, yeah, you've since moved gyms. You're actually now training at Arizona Combat Sports, which I was going to ask about. Are you still coaching as a wrestling coach at Arizona State while you have a residence at Arizona Combat Sports?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, got to focus on just, you know, strictly the fighting, right?
Yeah, strictly fighting. Focus on strictly fighting now.
And I was looking at some of your training here. You were talking about how you had a certain training regimen when you were in amateur wrestling as compared to now. You once competed at a 270-pound walk-around weight and kind of getting around that 250-pound mark as of now kind of thing. So I'm wondering what the major differences were between the amateur wrestling training and the MMA training, because that sounds like a pretty, you know, big weight difference. Sounds pretty stark there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, I feel like a fighter, just the intensity of it is more stress. It's strenuous, and the adrenaline you get from it is more intense than what you feel from wrestling. After 15 years of wrestling, there's almost, you know, there's very little adrenaline and intensity that, you know, that you can actually, like, can't control. In a fight, you have it's more of a reaction, I would say, an instinct. The same thing with wrestling, but it's intensified because it's a fight. And so I feel like that made a difference with me losing weight and just, you know, training 24/7, because I felt, you know, having just a wrestling background, I have to do this boxing and kickboxing, and I have to try to catch up, you know, and try to make that match my wrestling skill.
So has it been a refreshing kind of learning process then? Because I imagine with wrestling, there would probably be less of those, you know, revelatory, game-changer kind of learning days. But I imagine those pop up a fair bit with the mixed martial arts there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, when you train like that, that's natural. It's kind of, that happens.
Absolutely. And people are really touting you pretty highly at this point, like seeing Bloody Elbow talking about how you have the potential to be the next great heavyweight in MMA. Now, you're a few fights into that journey. Do you have any sort of, you know, roughly mapped out plan, any sort of set of goals in the coming years you want to actualize?
I mean, other than remaining undefeated and to continue going up the ranks. That's really the only goal I have right now. You know, probably here after I get to around 7, 8, maybe 9 wins, I'll be looking at who has the belt and looking to make my way there. But I mean, really, right now, I mean, yeah, I understand and talking to everybody who I know in the game already. I mean, just being around the people I've been around. You got to understand this is a process. You know, you don't want to step into the cage with somebody who's outclassing you because you rushed yourself. You know, and you know, I mean, I respect these guys who've been in the cage for years before me. You know, so I want to make sure that I'm ready and I'm prepared for whoever can't step in the cage.
No, that's cool, man. It sounds like you're humble and you want to really put in that work. But I was wondering what your thoughts are on the Bellator system that they've established for, you know, these certain blue chip wrestling prospects, yourself kind of included with that. I mean, Ed Ruth, Aaron Pico, and there's a certain grooming process with these guys that you don't see too often in MMA. So what are your thoughts on what Bellator has been doing in that regard?
I love it. I think they're ahead of the curve. I mean, when you're looking at trying to bring elite wrestlers or elite athletes from any sport and cross them over into MMA, the way that they're doing it and the relationship that they built with us is awesome. You know, I couldn't ask for a better company to bring me into the sport. And they just make it feel so easy because they communicate so well. Everybody there is so nice and, you know, always welcome. So any problem I have, any question I've ever had about what to do or what's going on, they answer it right away. They got back to me right away. Like I was just saying, you know, me understanding that process is from talking to them and them helping me understand and putting me around fighters who, like Chael Sonnen, you know, who I've known since I was a little boy, but just to understand, you know, like what this sport is, you know, because it is a sport and at the same time it's a business. So you have to understand both sides of it and you know, you have to play both sides.
Absolutely, man. And I think heavyweight has kind of had a problem with that over the last few years, you know, in terms of developing these young prospects. I feel like sometimes they get rushed into these certain situations and it can kind of, you know, hurt their confidence. So I think you have a realistic sort of timeline of when you can get up there and compete with these upper echelon heavyweights.
No, I mean, I don't think there's a problem with me competing with them at all. I think I could out wrestle all of them. You know what I mean? But I go out there and control the fight and wrestle them, but I don't want to do that. You know what I mean? I want to make sure that I can go out there and I want to be able to feel confident enough to say, okay, I can knock everybody out in the weight class.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't mean to make it seem like I was saying you couldn't compete with those guys or anything like that, but I was kind of curious about the wrestler to MMA transition here because, I mean, I heard Dan Severn talking about how when he was competing, there was a certain sort of moment he had where it almost felt weird to strike somebody in that competitive mode. I'm sure you maybe had something like that early on. Was it weird to strike somebody in that kind of competition because, you know, you're so conditioned to seeing that as breaking the rules?
No, I didn't have a problem with it at all.
Right on, man. Well, King Mo has talked about, you know, certain wrestlers are conditioned to, you know, observe things from the sidelines. They have to listen to their coaches. King Mo actually noticed a fight in the crowd during one of his fights and was kind of paying more attention to that. Have you observed anything like that, and can you sort of speak to that in-competition mindset?
What do you mean, like being able to hear stuff from the crowd?
Yeah, because you hear about certain strikers, and it seems like the crowd's not even really so much a factor, but King Mo was talking about how he, like, vividly saw a fight breaking out in the crowd. Do you notice things like that? Do you really observe the crowd, and is that from your wrestler days?
You know, I can hear my coach very well, and I can key on certain things, but, I mean, no, I don't say right now at this time of my career I'm able to do that just because, you know, I'm only having 3 fights, and I'm still a little nervous and my, you know, anxiety's high and stuff like that when I'm in the cage right now still. But as I continue to get more comfortable and stuff, I could only guess. Yeah, I could imagine it was just like that in wrestling. I could watch the crowd and do things like that just because I knew what was going on and I had full control and, you know, and I was aware of everything that could happen. Just, you know, not having that experience, I can't do things like that because you don't feel comfortable. That just lets you know how comfortable King Mo feels when he's in the cage. You know, he feels like he's at home, that he can look into the crowd and still be fully aware of what's going on in the fight.
Yeah, for sure. That's a very good point. And you were kind of touching on, you know, the history with Chael Sonnen there, from the, you know, same wrestling club as him and Matt Lindland. You came up through similar ranks there. So what are your thoughts on Chael's upcoming fight with Wanderlei Silva next month?
Oh, man, I'm super excited for it. You know what I mean? It's always nice to be able to get – I can't wait to have a feeling like that, but I would assume that it's actually – you know, it feels way, way better to get locked in the cage of somebody you actually want to fight, you know, somebody you actually want to punch in the face. So I'm very excited to see what happens for this fight. I think Joe's going to smash him.
Yeah, absolutely. Was there anyone like that from your amateur wrestling days who maybe you would want to fight where there would be that kind of rivalry? Like, would you like to get them in an MMA cage?
No, I don't hold any grudges like that. There's only one guy, but I have too much respect for him. There's no rivalry or nothing like that, but...
It's just the competitive nature of it. You'd want to test yourself, right?
I wouldn't. If they would want to fight me, I'd fight them, but there's nobody I would single out from the wrestling.
Okay, fair enough. But on that same card with Sonnen and Silva there, we've got Fedor versus Mitrione, so I'm sure you have your eyes on that, you know, being that they're divisional peers of yours. So who do you think wins that one?
Out of Mitrione and
Fedor, yeah.
Oh, man, that fight is also another one. You know, like that's going to be a hard one to go. You know, like Fedor has the power and the explosives just to knock you out at any time. And then if you take him down, he can submit you. And it's just grappling is amazing. So, but Matt also has great footwork and, you know, him. And power tonight, knocking out at any time as well. So I think it's gonna go down with somebody getting knocked out for sure. Who I'm just not sure. I'm rooting for Matt, but I don't know.
Yeah, and you know the Bellator heavyweight division is kind of wide open in a way with that vacant title and all. I know you were talking about wanting to have that title way down the line, so I think that would be a big fight to watch for that, but I kind of wanted to touch on your career as well, because the Bellator platform, I mean, it seems like it's really much about getting the personality over, expressing, you know, what the fighter brings to the table uniquely. Do you find that it's a better platform to, you know, get yourself across as opposed to the kind of homogenized sort of uniform style of Reebok in the UFC?
Well, could you say that again?
Oh, I was just talking about how Bellator has a certain platform where it can really push the uniqueness of certain fighters out there, whereas UFC sort of has a more uniform, kind of homogenized look. So do you feel like Bellator is a better platform to, you know, generate interest in yourself in this point in your career?
Definitely, because I'm open to all sponsors and taking everything you want to say. Eventually, I feel fit. So it caters to as the individual more, opposed to just being locked in and only being limited to certain companies, you know what I mean? So I think that helps me out immensely right now, especially being, you know, early in my MMA career and not having much of a name and just having a wrestling background. If I was in the UFC, you know, I'd be making just, you know, the minimum of 10 and 10 and negotiate. You know, things like that, it's just a lot harder for those guys.
Yeah, for sure. Sorry, are you outside or something? It sounds like you're breaking up at certain points there, or there's a certain noise in the background.
No, I'm outside.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I was just wondering, because it was making a bit of noise there. But I mean, was talking about your kind of over the top, you know, Bellator kind of vibe there, and getting certain looks from WWE a little while ago, which I thought was pretty interesting. Apparently, you had a tryout, or you being looked at for a tryout, as that's what Gerald Briscoe said. So, what was that experience like?
Well, I had the tryout out there in Florida, but that was actually a really good experience, just because of it. And I would say that because, you know, at first, you know, as a little kid, I thought that wrestling was what wrestling was, and then I got into real wrestling, and then I lost respect for that wrestling, that the TV wrestling, so I'm like, man, that's just acting, you know, they're not really doing anything, you don't have to be an athlete, and then going through that training, that tryout, and I got to do their training regimen, and I seen how hard those guys have to work to get in the cage and all the things that they have to do to their body, and I just gained so much respect for those guys, because it's a lot more than just acting. Me hitting that mat every time, and that floor is a lot harder than you think, and all those moves and the choreograph, the whole story. story and stuff, you know, it's crazy. So, I mean, I gained a lot of respect for him, but it just wasn't something I could see myself doing at the time.
Well, that's cool that you had that open-mindedness to sort of say, oh, well, I mean, I'm not going to do this as a career, but I certainly respect what they do. And your last opponent was the son of Big Bully Busick, the late 80s, early 90s WWF wrestler, so I thought that was kind of cool. So you're not going to be getting into pro wrestling anytime soon? You don't need a heel manager to represent you or anything like that?
No, nothing like that at all.
I was going to say, give me a shout. I'll get a... You'd have a bunch of lines going on with your last name, you know what I mean? Forget millionaires, forget billionaires. You've never seen a fortune quite like this. It sells itself, right?
Right. It sells itself.
But no, I mean, we're talking about your Bellator career so far. It's been very impressive up until this point. But when can we expect you back in the cage, and have you gotten any word in as far as who your opponent's going to be?
You know, I'm not sure right now, actually. I'm looking at maybe, hopefully... July or I guess September, October, maybe July or August, somewhere in that time frame, you know, a few months from now, but I'm not sure. I don't have an opponent or anything like that lined up, so.
Okay, I noticed two of the three fights you were in were at Mohegan Sun Arena in Connecticut. Do you think you're going to be at that same venue, or do you think you're going to be in a different market?
I don't think I'll be in Connecticut my next fight, but I won't be surprised if I'm back there again.
Yeah, I mean, that was it's been a good venue for you, certainly. But your first two fights finished from strikes, and then your last fight, a unanimous decision win. So I was wondering if you saw that as a very necessary step in your development, you know, going that full three rounds and testing your mettle in that sort of way.
Definitely. Being able to know that you can go those full three rounds in a full fight gets you just a little bit more, like I said, another thing that helps you feel comfortable.
Sorry, I can't really hear what you're saying, man. Is there any chance you could step inside or in maybe a little more quiet of an area?
Yep. Hello, can you hear me now?
Yep, for sure.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that help you feel comfortable after you've, you know, been in the cage for 15 minutes. You know what it's like.
Yeah, absolutely. I would imagine it builds that sort of confidence that you were talking about before.
Yep, definitely. Well, it builds that level of confidence to where you could be looking at a crowd, a fight build up in the crowd, and still be fully aware of what's going on in the fight, like King Mo was talking about.
Yeah, and the fight was pretty important to you. I mean, I saw you tweeted out, "Happy birthday, Tim. I love you, bro. Tonight, this one is for you, RIP." So how important was that last fight for you? I imagine there was a lot of emotions going on that night.
Yeah, Tim was one of my best friends from my childhood. We grew up wrestling together, and he passed away from, I think it was a heart aneurysm or something like that in his sleep after he had went for a run. And that was the night he had passed away. It had been a year since that day, so it was just... you know, just recognizing him on that day and me fighting on that day, too. I just wanted him to know that, you know, I still was thinking about him and I think about him all the time, and that was for him.
No, that's really powerful, man. I'm sure his family really appreciated that and all of that. But, you know, you're a big follower of the wrestling scene as well, and I'm noticing that there's a bit of crossover in recent years. Certain outlets like Flow Wrestling, for example, Flow Combat, they do a pretty good job of covering wrestling, but in a way where it crosses over to certain fans who might predominantly be focused on MMA. So I was wondering, from your perspective as a big follower of the wrestling scene, have you noticed more fanfare from those mixed martial arts fans who are crossing over to wrestling in recent years?
Definitely. Wrestling is building up a lot more, you know, just because when you have wrestlers coming in the UFC and dominating and taking titles away and controlling it, it makes all the fighters look at, like, what is this wrestling? We got to learn it. So, I mean, my coach back home was telling me that he has a class now just for fighters that come in and want to learn wrestling. And it's just because there were so many coming in, and they all want to learn wrestling. So I think, you know, just from having that little streak where wrestlers came in and was dominating the sport, it definitely helped get more eyes on the sport of wrestling.
And I think it's cool for MMA fans because you see a lot of blue-chip prospects kind of coming up. Like, I mean, I heard about yourself, for instance, from certain amateur wrestling competition there, and you hear about guys like Kyle Snyder and whatnot. So it's really exciting in that way because it's almost like you're scouting out who could be the next big mixed martial artist for the next few years.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't know in wrestling if you can you figure out much of who would be the next martial artist, because you don't see. I don't like Mo was saying, it's not very often you see too many fighters be able to punch it very well.
No, fair enough. I get what you're saying there, but a lot of wrestling connections that you make at these certain tournaments. I remember watching an interview of yours, and someone had asked you what your favorite part of the whole process was, and you just really enjoyed all the connections you make at the tournaments. Is that one of the things you really like about the culture, just the camaraderie of competition and all of that?
Yeah, I mean, well, in fighting, I don't feel like I don't have that at all, but in wrestling, I did. If that makes sense. I mean, wrestling was more of a, I had more of a family, and it was like, the wrestling community was very small and close-knit, but fighting is different. I feel like I'm trying to kill somebody, so I don't talk to them before or after the fight. There's no shaking hands or hugs from me or none of that. I don't feel, I don't know, it's just different,
No, I mean, it makes sense, man, but that's very interesting that you elaborated on that, kind of a stark difference. Is there a certain camaraderie that exists in the training room then? I mean, obviously, it probably doesn't exist with your opponent or anything like that, but is there a certain similar camaraderie within the training room?
Oh, definitely. You have to, because, I mean, you're throwing punches and kicks at each other every day, so you just have to have a level. It's more of just about having a level of respect for each other and, knowing someone's limits, I would say, is the biggest thing. And being able to push each other. My best partner, I would say, is Doughboy and Gerard Trice. And the reason why is because he's new, like I am, so he's fresh. So we always want to keep going and keep learning, opposed to somebody who's already been fighting for, 10 years and stuff. They don't have that. I mean, some do, but some don't have that same drive to want to just keep going at practice every day and keep learning, because they've done it already. It's all kind of old to them.
Yeah, absolutely. You need those kind of people who are just super eager to get out there and just really learn all these things. But when you're in the training room, what music do you train to? Are there particular, songs, genres, artists, anything like that you go to music-wise?
Hip-hop. I mean, just the normal stuff that I walk out to and stuff like that is what I listen to in the room. My coaches have us play some Spanish music every now and then so we can try to get our salsa rhythm up and stuff with our fighting, but I haven't got too much into that yet. I think I'm going to take some salsa classes.
Maybe warm up on you with time, sort of thing?
Yeah. We watch a lot of boxing and stuff, so...
That's cool, though. So there's no particular hip-hop artist that you like to get out there or anything like that? No particular, subgenre of hip-hop or anything like that?
If I had to pick out an artist, I would have to say right now, Big Sean would probably be the first one I would probably play. Or
nice. No, yeah, that's some fire up music, absolutely. But I mean, you've been getting fired up about the Daniel Cormier situation. You seem to be really much into what he does. You say no one utilizes wrestling better than DC. So I was wondering what your thoughts were on that whole Jones and DC press conference, as well as the announcement of their July rematch.
Man, I'm actually really excited for that fight. I know so many people closely connected to that fight, so it's gonna be nice to see the outcome. When athletes like that of that caliber have a rematch, it's gonna be explosive, especially when they've had this much time away from each other. And John Jones not even having that much time in the cage at all, and DC being beating everybody up in the cage. So it's just you kind of get to see what's gonna happen again, and hopefully Daniel can do something different, or make it a better fight.
Yeah, and hopefully it actually happens this time instead of what happened last July.
Right.
But yeah, I was also wondering if you got to check out the Stipe versus Dos Santos fight there last night.
Man, it just looked like Dos Santos kind of lost it.
Yeah, it was kind of sad, wasn't it? It looked like how he looked in the Alistair Overeem fight, where he kind of seemed gun-shy almost.
Yeah. He just doesn't seem like himself. Like, his confidence and his movement was slow, and I don't know. Stipe looked really good, though. Stipe was ready to fight.
But, yeah, he looked really good, and he's quietly making a case for himself as one of the you know, all-time great heavyweights at this point, if you think about it, because the way he knocked out Verdum, the way he put away Overeem and now Dos Santos, and all just within the first frame of the fight. You could also put Andrei Arlovsky within there. So, yeah, quite a resume for Stipe. Imagine maybe a guy you have your eye on as, like, the ultimate prize, you know, way down the line sort of thing, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, Stipe got some L's on his record, too. How many losses does Stipe have?
Well, he lost to Stefan Struve, and then he lost to Junior Dos Santos in their first fight.
Yeah, see, well, yeah, you can't be the best, greatest. I mean, I guess you can't have some two mistakes, I guess, especially in fighting. That's going to happen. But so, yeah, I mean, I would consider him, yeah, one of the best at this point. But he still has to get through some of the other guys that are left before I really think he can make that argument, because there's not many heavyweights left, you know. So I think if he fights a few more guys, he can say, yeah, I'm the greatest heavyweight right now.
Yeah, that's one of the more difficult discussions, determining who the greatest heavyweight of all time is. It gets kind of to be a dicey conversation. But I was checking out your Twitter account, and I saw you shared a pretty funny video of that guy who was, you know, chirping the dude with the patchy hair, and then he, you know, challenged him to fight. I was actually laughing out loud at that. I thought it was so good. So would you rather walk around with a hairstyle like that for the rest of the year, or take another Will Johnson-style nutshot just once?
You talking about the black guy patch with the...
Yeah, the dude's, like, shooting the video in the car, and then he starts, like, beaking the guy.
I'd take a nut shot.
Yeah, that was a bad look. I was like, well, what's Buddy saying here with the hair there? And I thought it was funny that the guy in the car called him out. He's like, you want to do this? And then the guy just walked away. It was really funny.
Yeah. He said, you going to disrespect me in my hood? You know where you're at?
No, man, it was funny. It reminds me of, like, the kind of videos, you know, me and my brother watch. It was just a good laugh for me. But, yeah, you've been really generous with your time here. Anything you want to add as we wrap up here?
No, man, I just really appreciate you having me on the show. And you know, thanks for supporting me and looking out.
No, man, yeah, definitely excited for your next fight and for when that announcement comes out. Great interview with Bellator MMA heavyweight, very decorated amateur wrestler. That was Terrell Fortune. Hopefully you enjoy the rest of your day, man.
Thank you, man. You too.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.